Welcome to the audio edition of the March 2017 edition of the Livingston's Herald. You may have noticed that the colour has been changed to white paper. This is to facilitate the running off of the magazine and also will make the running costs slightly cheaper. It's also hoped to vary the graphics from time to time to help compensate for the loss of the bright yellow paper. Recently, I was drawn to this heading in the Herald. Switch on, log in, let us pray. The heading was referring to the service held in Trinity Church, Falkirk, on Sunday the 5th of February. Trinity Church is one of the forerunners when it comes to exploiting new technology, and is one of only 20 churches in Scotland that currently live stream their Sunday service. A couple of cameras relayed the service via the church's website, and local people were able to join in their own homes, even to sing the hymns if they wished, as the verses appeared as captions on the screen. The Kirk, hoping to increase that number, has just appointed the very Reverend Albert Bogle, a former moderator, as its first digital minister. I can see why live streaming appeals to churches, seeking to increase their reach and the size of their congregations in this day of falling roles. Motherwell DL St Andrews has been live streaming for more than 4 years now. Its dedicated YouTube channel has had 74,000 views from across 100 nations. Its minister, the Reverend Derek Hughes, has said that live streaming has not only increased his attending congregation, but has also lowered the age range there. We in Livingston at present record the Sunday service, and this is given weekly to those who are unable to come to church. This allows them to join in worship and to feel that they are still part of the church congregation. I would also like to record my thanks to all contributors for their continued support. And that any articles for the June magazine should be sent to me by Sunday the 7th of May to magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk.
Now we have a letter from Friends of South Beach House. South Beach House are hosting a daffodil afternoon tea on Thursday the 30th of March 2017 at 2 p.m. We would cordially like to invite all guild and church members to attend. I'm sure that it will be an enjoyable afternoon, and I look forward to seeing as many of your members who are able to attend. Visitors can pay £2 on the day. Yours sincerely, Marion C. Brown, Friends of South Beach House, Care Home Committee. Next, a letter from Blytheswood Care about their shoebox appeal for 2016. And they thank us at Livingston Parish Church Stevenson for filling 61 boxes and giving donations of money and knitting. Livingston Care aims to transform lives through Christian care for body and soul. A letter from Ardrossan Social Services, Health and Social Care Partnership, to Livingston Church. Just a little letter to express our gratitude to you for your contributions to our service over Christmas. We were able to provide our families with Christmas presents, and over 80 families benefited from a roast dinner, ensuring they had a hot meal for Christmas Day. The money that you kindly donated went towards this, and also to buy gifts for teenagers we work with. Your generosity is greatly appreciated by the staff and our service users, and is a testament to the goodwill and charity of you all. Best wishes for 2017. Ardrossan Social Services.
Our next letter is from our interim moderator. It is great to have good news to pass on, and the good news is that the nominating committee have a candidate to fill the vacancy. The committee have worked hard for 18 months, and following prayerful consideration, are able to recommend the Reverend David Sutherland to be the next minister of the Link Charge. A profile of the Reverend Sutherland appears after this letter. Intimation will shortly be given that he will preach as sole nominee on Sunday the 12th of March. Following the service, all members and adherents present will be invited to vote for or against the nominee. I hope as many as are able will attend worship on that day. It is important to note that the congregation choose the minister and not the nominating committee. In this instance, the candidate will preach before both congregations at the usual times. We are grateful to the nominating committee for their diligence and dedication, and I'm pleased to report that members representing both congregations work very well together and the decision to recommend Reverend Sutherland was unanimous. Should the nominee be accepted by both congregations, preparations will be made for an induction, subject to the agreement and timing of presbytery. The vacancy has lasted a long time, but as I have said on many occasions, it will only be filled at the time of God's choosing, and we pray that this is the minister that he has chosen to lead you in the future. The appointment of a minister opens up great possibilities for the future development of both congregations, and, provided he is appointed, he will bring experience and skills which will create an exciting future and a deepening of faith and Christian service. I have had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Sutherland on two occasions, and latterly with his wife Maureen. I was very impressed, not only by his abilities, but by his sincerity and humanity. And I would like to think that in one hearing, we may come to a similar conclusion and welcome him as the minister of the Link Charge. With every blessing, Ken Welsh, Interim Moderator.
Here is a profile for Reverend Dave Sutherland. The nominating committee have unanimously invited the Reverend Dave Sutherland to preach as sole nominee for our vacancy. The committee met with Reverend Sutherland on two occasions and heard him preach in Kirkfield, Saltcoats. We were impressed by his openness and commitment, as well as how he engaged in discussion with us. Reverend Sutherland was a late entrant to the full-time ministry, having spent some 30 years as a police officer in Dundee, attaining the rank of sergeant. Much of his service was focused on community liaison, including work with young people and in schools. He was first of all ordained as an auxiliary minister in 2001, while still serving as a police officer, before successfully studying for full-time ministry following his retirement from the police. He is currently minister at Dumfries Maxwellton West, where he has established a Bible study group, prayer group, held a series of Messy Church, and coordinated a baby and toddlers group. He has also had a long association with Scouts, from assistant Cub Scout leader in the 1980s to appointment as group chairman for the Scout group based in Maxwellton Church, West Church. David is married, and he and Maureen have one grown-up son. Reverend Sutherland will preach as sole nominee in both Ardeer and Livingston on Sunday the 12th of March. You are encouraged to make sure you can attend. Following each service, the congregations will be asked to vote on his appointment as minister. A strong attendance that Sunday will help to show the Reverend Sutherland our commitment to God's work in Stevenson. Andrew Tomlinson, clerk to the nominating committee.
Let's now look at some of the activities listed in the magazine, starting with the Guild. We have enjoyed a variety of talks, activities, New Year lunch, DVD of the National Gathering of the Guild, Burn celebration, and successful bring and buy sale in aid of Guild projects during the last few months. In the last magazine, I told you about the hope that we could support the Toilet Twinning charity and fund three toilets to twin with our three toilets, gents, ladies and disabled, within our buildings. I am pleased to tell you that we succeeded, and you will find a picture of each twin toilet on the wall of each toilet mentioned. With the money left over from the toilet twinning, we bought Call to Mind, an aid for people with dementia and their carers. We donated this to South Beach House when we went to entertain the residents on the 6th of December and received a very nice letter of thanks. We have still got a good programme to go before Easter, which is later this year. I would like to bring to your attention our concert on the 21st of March, when we will be entertained by the Largs Fiddle Orchestra. The concert is at our usual time of 1:30 p.m. and tickets are £4. We hope that anyone in the congregation and friends will join us for an afternoon of toe-tapping music. Finally, our annual daffodil tea will be held on Tuesday, the April the 11th, in the evening after the Holy Week service, to which all members of the congregation are invited. And that's from Dorothy Pennell.
The Jam Club Nativity. There was a real treat in store for all who attended the church service on the 18th of December last year. The whole service was taken by the Jam Club and was ably led by Alexander Chisholm. Alexander is working towards his Silver Duke of Edinburgh Award, and by leading the service, this has also helped him towards the Scouts Diamond Award. The Nativity was called The Christmas Star's Big Shine and was narrated throughout by Fraser Chisholm. There was the bossy angel, Emma McKechnie, nudging the star and telling him he had a very important job to do. And the star, Duncan Chisholm, the shiniest star in the whole universe, travelling to find Bethlehem, first of all via Africa, where he met a monkey, Ewan McKechnie. The monkey joined in, grasped little star's gleaming tail, and off they both flew to find Bethlehem, through the sky, across a huge ocean, and over a leafy rainforest, where they met a tiger, Ewan again. The tiger told them it was not Bethlehem, but India. So tiger joined on, took hold of monkey, while monkey grasped little star's tail, and off they all zoomed, till they reached China, and met Panda, played by Natalie Hastings. Here Panda joined on also, and once again they all rushed through the velvet sky, faster and faster, until suddenly they nearly crashed into the angel. "Look out!" shouted the angel, as she left to tell the shepherds about the good news. Little Star closed his eyes, puffed out his chest, and began to shine until he burst into the most dazzling shine of his life. Yes, there he was, from his vantage point up in the pulpit, shining like a well-lit Christmas tree covered in fairy lights. We gathered from the narrator that the star shone so brightly that it showed the way to the shepherds and also the wise men who came later. It was a brilliant, fantastic ending. All credit to the Jam Club for the excellent nativity, and a special word of thanks to Alexander for conducting the service with such confidence and maturity. Well done to all. From Catherine Reed.
And now, the Jam Club. On Sunday, the 29th of January, the Jam Club gave us a lesson on Praise Him in Everything. It was presented in the form of a play. Two school children, played by Carrie and Duncan, were the main characters. Duncan, late for school, was having the worst day of his life. It was one of those days, we've all had them, when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong. Even before coming to school, things hadn't gone well for Duncan, much of it his own fault. His friend Carrie reminded him of the good day they had had at the Jam Club the day before, when they had activities on finding ways to praise God. She told Duncan it's easy to praise God when life is going well, but it's not so easy when it's not. She countered all that Duncan thought had gone wrong with his day, so far, by pointing out what had gone right. Although he had missed the bus, his mum had brought him to school in the car, when she could have made him walk. He had been allowed to play his computer game for a little while, which was better than not at all, thus finding something to praise God no matter what. It was just like Pollyanna's glad game, an optimistic and positive attitude to life, looking for something to praise and thank God and to be glad about, even in the worst times. Carrie challenged Duncan to think of one good thing that he could praise God for. Duncan thought about this and then replied, "Well, I did get this book I've been waiting ages for in the library." With Carrie's help, Duncan thought of many more things he could praise God for, that he had clean clothes, that they would have double playtime, and much more. Duncan was not mad anymore, and he and Carrie decided, yes, God does deserve our praise. It was a very thought-provoking little play, reminding us that we all should find something to praise God for, even when things go wrong. Find something to be glad about in everything that happens, both good and bad. Very well done to Carrie and Duncan, who had a lot of words to learn for the script, and they performed their play very well. Dorothy Taylor.
Big thank you to everyone for helping to make the 2016 pantomime a great success. The four-night sell-out run was once again exhausting, but extremely rewarding for all the cast. Our new black stage floor certainly enhanced the performance this year, along with the brilliantly designed scenery and props, which made Peter Pan a pantomime to remember. The shop was busier than ever, so a special thank you to you all who helped and to those who looked after the junior cast. Without your assistance, the pantomime simply wouldn't happen. Everyone had great fun rehearsing and performing the pantomime, but you, the audience, are as much a part of the cast as the players themselves. Your attendance each year is invaluable. hopefully to enjoy a great night's entertainment, and of course, enabling us all to raise money for Christian Aid. Thank you all for playing your part in supporting us. Remember to check our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk, for details of our upcoming production. Preparations are already underway for our 2017 pantomime. Ross Glover.
And now the Badminton Club. The Badminton Club meets on Tuesday evenings from 7.30 until 9.30. We have a core membership of 5 adults and 2 young people. The object of the club is primarily fun. We have no interest in league play. As part of the evening, we have tea or coffee with biscuits. Badminton relies on long and short shots, with disguise and direction of shot being the main points of the game. The standard of the badminton is varied, and although we all want to win, fun is the main aim. We play doubles, so that we can play as many games as possible during the evening. There are no set partnerships, we change the pairings every match. One of our young people is a boys' brigade member, and has to show that his playing standard is improving, and that he has a good attendance record. At intervals, I have to sign his record book to show his standard is improving, which it is. This is one of the requirements towards his Queen's badge. We will always welcome new members, and we were delighted to do so last week as a result of the church notices in the ANS Herald. Arthur Taylor.
And now, on a more serious note, some prayer thoughts from Andrew Tomlinson. I suppose it's really obvious that when we turn to God in prayer, we should be aware of our relationship with God and making sure that it is right. Jesus sets the standard for this in a conversation he had with Peter, recorded in Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have all of you, to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up your brothers. Jesus is making it quite clear that we have to clear away the distractions that Satan is ever ready to put before us. We all know what it's like to be out in mist or fog. Things are indistinct. Obstacles might be in our path and we don't see them until it's too late. Our time for prayer can be just as obscured if we have not first reasserted our faith in God. On many occasions, Jesus reinforces the idea that if we place our trust in God and are wholly reliant on Him, any request we make will be granted. That's a huge promise, but it also emphasizes the difference between where we are and where God wants us to be in our relationship with Him. By being completely reliant on God, we are completely in tune with Him, and our prayer requests will exactly match the path that God has set out for our lives. There are 5 themes to guide us when we pray. Approach. Come with an uncluttered mind, knowing that God welcomes us into His presence. Confession. Follow Jesus' instructions to Peter and repent and turn to God, reasserting your faith in Him. Thanksgiving. For ministry, continue to give thanks for David Hetherington's work with us. For heritage, give thanks for the faith and work of those who served God in times past and handed the gospel message on to us. For faithfulness, give thanks for those whose faithfulness in many different roles in Livingston help us to sustain our worship. For presence, give thanks for the church's presence in Stevenston and pray that its influence on people's lives will grow. Intercession. For frailty, pray for those who are suffering from physical or mental frailty and for those who support them. For schools, pray for our local schools that they provide a safe and supportive environment for all who attend. For Easter, pray that the real meaning of Easter will be celebrated and thanks given to God. For the world, pray for those countries and communities devastated by war or natural disaster, that they may be built up again. For prayer, pray that talking to God will remain a key part of our daily lives. For ministry, pray that God will direct a minister to come and lead us in Livingston and Argyll.
And now we come to reports. Firstly, the Presbytery report. The Presbytery met at the beginning of February after the Christmas break. The first order of business was a tribute to the late Reverend Margaret Thompson, the former Minister of Erskine Salcote, now Kirkgate. Unfortunately, the present incumbent, the Reverend Dorothy Granger of Kirkgate, who also happens to be the Presbytery moderator this year, has been unwell, and the tribute was given by the Reverend Fiona Ross. There was very little discussion at this month's meeting, mostly consisting of notices and information. There was notice that treasurers could apply the 5% reduction to this year's ministry and mission, which should have been for 2016, but the notification was not sent out in time. Four members of Presbytery will fly out to Malawi in April to develop relations with their partner Presbytery there. Most costs are being met from central funds, but a reserve fund has been set aside for contingency purposes. The Church of Scotland is involved in many projects, both nationally and internationally, but unless someone has a particular interest, much of the work done is completely unknown to the ordinary church member. I feel that as a congregation, we miss out on a lot of these activities. The Guild is involved with some, but the congregation as a whole is not even aware of them. Several items of mission were brought to the Presbytery's attention. There is a one-day conference, it's called Creating a Culture of Invitation, and that's on March the 29th at Hampden. There was Year of the Young Person information, and next year has been themed Year of the Young Person. Planning is underway for that. The Principal Clerk invites you to a Heart and Soul event, which takes place during Assembly Week. The Presbytery hopes to arrange a bus to go to that event. And there is a quick guide to refugees in the Church of Scotland as an information booklet. There is more information on each of these on the Church's website, or you can see them on the Church of Scotland website. This year it is Livingston's turn to send a delegate to the General Assembly, and that's from Mr. F. Kerr, Presbytery Elder.
The Fabric Committee report. As usual, the weather rules the roost at this time of the year, but we managed to catch up on a few jobs which were needing attention on the inside of the church. These had accumulated for a while, such as faulty pew doors, loose boards under the seats, and poor wiring in the sound system microphones. The guards on the radiators in the large hall were removed to allow Maureen to clean and wash them, and they're now back to normal and looking good. By the time you read this report, the church windows above the front door should have been replaced, although the weather may have held this job back. The panto went well, thanks to all the hard work and dedication of the pantomime members, both on and off stage, and the fabric committee too. Now the days are getting longer, outside jobs will be taken care of. The writer of this report has already seen one right outside the front door.
The finance report. The end of December is the end of the financial year for the church, and it is on these figures that ministry and mission and presbytery dues are based, and the overall members you will see in the church's annual report. It is an opportunity to see how we have done financially compared to last year, and consider what our prospects are as we go forward into the future. Overall donations were down by 1.5%, or £634, which does not seem to be much of a difference, but for most of 2016, donations were ahead of 2015, and the drop was in the last 2 months. This fall in donations has continued through January and is a source of concern to the session. Combined with the drop in donations, there has been a large increase in our expenses. We used reserves to pay for the new boiler, but paid for the new windows from the fabric fund, that was £1,760. However, the main expense was the payment for ministerial assistance, £6,236, compared to only £324 in 2015. We should have been paying that amount in previous years, so expenses in previous years have been lower than they should have been, and that has protected us in the past from deficit. Now we face this expense on a continuing basis until we have a new minister, but then we will lose the discount we receive for being a vacant charge, which is about the same as the ministerial assistance cost. We must budget for much greater expenses in the future. This comes down to your weekly giving. It is the only source of income we have any control over, so I would once more ask you to review your givings. If you are eligible to donate by gift aid, it only needs a simple signature to enable us to claim an extra 20% from what you already give. I have not given figures this time, as they will be in the annual report. And that's from Finlaycare, Treasurer.
And now, a poem. Does this list of worries seem familiar to you? The poet nailing this most human of traits is Eileen Evans. It's called She Worries About Things. She worries about people. She worries what things can do to people. She worries about things that are non-things, like love and justice. She worries about things happening or not, things that will, may, ought. She worries about things to do, not done yet, things to remember or to forget. She worries about things going wrong, falling apart, out of control. She worries. When told there's nothing to worry about, there will be if I don't, she says.
And now, before our quiz, a couple of Bible jokes. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? He was ruthless. And to top that, who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Well, that was Samson. He brought the house down.
And now the Bible quiz. Here are some Bible firsts. All of them have a New Testament reference. Can you supply the name or the phrase? Question 1. Who was the first person to call Jesus Lord? Question 2. In which town did Jesus perform his first miracle? Number 3. In which city were the disciples first called Christians? Number 4. Who was the first Christian martyr? Number 5. Who were the first Christian missionaries? Number 6. Who was the first Gentile convert? Number 7. In which city was the first Christian church located? Number 8. Which is the first commandment in importance? Number 9. Who was the first disciple to recognize Jesus as the Christ? Number 10. Which is the first commandment as a promise? And here are the answers to the quiz. Number 1. The first person to call Jesus Lord was Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 43. Number 2, Jesus performed his first miracle in Cana. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Number 3, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Acts 11, 26. Number 4, the first Christian martyr was Stephen. Acts 7, verses 54 to 60. Number 5, the first Christian missionaries were Paul and Barnabas, in Galatians 2, 9. Number 6, the first Gentile convert was Cornelius, in Acts 10. Number 7, the city with the first Christian church was Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 40, verses 41 to 47. Number 8, the first commandment in importance is to love God. That's Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. Number 9, the first disciple to recognize Jesus as the Christ is Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And the last one, the first commandment with a promise is honour your father and mother, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2.
And now some dates for your diary. Sunday the 5th of March is Communion Sunday. The service in Ardeer is at 10 a.m. and in Livingston at 11:30. On Sunday the 12th of March, the Reverend Dave Sutherland will preach as sole nominee. Again, service in Ardeer at 10 a.m. and Livingston at 11:30. Monday the 10th of April, a combined service in Ardeer at 6:30. And the arrangements for Holy Week are Monday the 10th of April, a combined service in Ardeer at 6:30. On Tuesday the 11th of April, service in Ardeer and Livingston at 6:30. Wednesday the 12th of April, a combined service in Livingston at 6:30. Thursday the 13th of April, a joint communion service in Livingston at 7 o'clock. And on Friday the 14th of April, a combined service in Ardeer at 6:30. And finally, you're invited to come to breakfast. That's on Easter Sunday the 16th of April in the church hall, open from 10 o'clock until 11:15. Like last year, the Jam Club will serve you. The charity Mercy Ships will receive any donations you give. Come along and enjoy the start of the Easter celebrations. And that last part was put in by Dorothy Pennell. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this audio version of the Livingston's Herald, and we look forward to seeing you soon. For the moment, goodbye.